Coming up on Roundabout, a tractor trail pileup in Ontario, Canada brings together two of our favorite things. Find out what they are next. One company has developed a backpack for cars, hard to believe, but it's for realsies. And we'll improv our way through another installment of A Car by Any Other Name. Tell your friends, grab the dog, because Roundabout is coming your way. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase and by everyone's favorite online store, Amazon.com.
Ready for more bourbon and cigars at La Casa de Habana? I'm Eric Tridko from Rumblestrip.net.
Back from the Valley of the Sun, courtesy of American Airlines, I'm James Tiberius Hall.
Admiring those shiny metal birds with the double A's on their tails, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
Receiving the Ben Sanders Broadcasting Award for the second time, I shall point out, I'm producer, well, Ben Sanders, logically.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode A123 Systems, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the manufacturing failures we won't admit to.
And we are back. That was brilliant, Eric, by the way. Thinking on your
it's
butt.
A little inside baseball.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But we are back. We've got a great show planned. All kinds of segments coming up after in the second half of the program and helping us slog through those, of course, Eric Tridko right here. It's been quite a spell since we've had you on the show.
It's been since the beginning of the quarter.
He's got it on his calendar. So glad you could make it again, Eric.
It's
glad
to
have
back.
You back. Yeah. And of course, Mr. Hall, the one, the only, well, there is another one, a duplicate.
There is another one, yeah. Yeah,
but
he's kind of a duplicate, not quite, just a little different, you know.
A little bit different, yes. Yeah. He has a little bit of a raunchier sense of humor. I think you've squelched that.
I don't want to talk about it because it makes me throw up.
So off. All right.
Jim Hall is
Son
back in the
bitch.
Studio. What was that, Ben? Can you share it with the class?
I was just saying.
Son of a bitch.
Do you know who that is?
I don't know, but it sounds good. That's my kind of narrator, you know?
Like an anti-Semitic Jewish narrator.
Whoa, that's disturbing.
Yes. Anyway, we've got a great show planned for
I'm disturbed.
Tonight. Are you?
Yeah.
Do you need your comfort RAF jacket?
No, I would
which
be,
you brought?
I did. I needed that in the Valley of the Sun.
Where did you get this Army surplus, Royal Air Force, corporal, captain's, air skipper's coat?
That's an important coat to have. I need that coat.
Does it have armor plating?
No, it's not like my Kevlar coat, which is really fun.
You mean the one Darth Hall had?
Darth Hall's coat, yeah, it has Kevlar lining for some reason,
oh,
which is kind of cool.
All right.
I keep wanting to get in fights with people with very low velocity guns and hope they don't go for a headshot.
The weak spot. But we've got a soldier ahead. We've got a lot to get through today, so let's get rolling. So, first up. For the stalker in you, GM's OnStar division is offering a new service that lets subscribers keep tabs on their spouses. The feature is called Family Link, and it costs just 12 cents a day. In fact, that's less than sponsoring a needy child in Senegal. According to Wired.com, the service is targeted at parents who want to keep track of their children when they're out on the road, which understandably makes sense, but of course it can also be used to keep a watchful eye on husbands and wives.
Or, but I'm trying to figure out how they determine what the relationship is, you know. It could just be anybody.
I know. What if you're a husband and you have a husband? Then I don't know if that is qualified under this. But
only in certain states where it's legal.
Exactly.
And there may be a corporate policy against it or in favor of it. We don't know. But the thing is, could you use it to just keep tabs on your mailman to know where he's taking your mail to read it?
I don't know. Unless he'd have to be taking it in your car.
Oh,
Well,
mine
there's
does,
the hang but, up.
Yeah.
Obviously, services like this raise privacy issues. Last year, OnStar started testing Family Link with 4,500 subscribers, and believe it or not, it was a hit. Early invites to the service are rolling out right now, Jim, so look in your mailbox, and the whole shoot and match will go live a little bit later this year.
So it's invitational right now.
You've been warned.
Yeah.
So, kind of creepy.
Real creepy.
Yes. What are you going to keep tabs on your wife? Are you going to get her a lacrosse or something and sign up for this? Just 12 cents a day, Jim.
You know, but I could sponsor a quarter of a child in Senegal. You know, so every 4 days, the child would be fully sponsored. I look at the positive side. Now, they'd probably be hungry.
Less need is better than more need, right? They might not have enough, but if you're just giving them a little bit. They're still needy.
Well, yeah,
but less needy.
You know, they might go out and get a job at a tailor's shop or something.
All right.
Oh, there aren't
Hong
table
Kong
shops there.
Bespoke
no, probably
suits.
Aren't any there.
Anyway, Eric.
Yes.
If they're needy, you've got a solution to generate power for them.
And Eric, that mic's not very sensitive, so you got to get right up on it.
You got to romance the mic.
How you feeling, girl?
So the search for inexpensive and renewable energy continues with a not exactly a new innovation because these have been talked about for a number of years, but this is a different twist on it, a floating wind turbine. So what most people aren't aware of is that once you get up to above 1,000 feet or so, that the winds are much more consistent and they're much higher speeds than they are at ground level. And it's been proposed many times to aloft wind turbines at certain elevations. And
like Zeppelins.
Yeah, or just have like solar-powered propellers or something up there to keep them up. But you always go, well, if there's no sun, then the propellers aren't going to keep it floating. Well, now we're going to put up these turbines and float them up there with helium, so it'll stay up there. And they're saying that once you get above 1,000 feet with these, that they'll generate that because the wind speeds are so much more that they can generate quite a bit of electricity, approximately 65% more electricity than at ground level. Although these are going to be pretty big, and I wonder. You got to be – well, I guess you'll know where planes are flying, except for maybe some of the private pilots in their little single-engine Cessnas who aren't exactly filing flight plans. And you have big power lines that have to go up to transmit the electricity from
– you can actually use microwaves to transmit electricity. Hmm. So they could do that. That was actually –
yeah.
That was they proposed microwave satellites, which is interesting because a plane flying through the beam is probably – whoa.
I was going to say, do you want to kind of end up crossing that beam of microwave?
Yeah, that would be tough.
It's imagine, getting hot in here, my torso. From the inside out.
And the little birds that would fly into it, and all of a sudden, ooh, tasty, yum.
Or, well, it would be fully cooked on the inside but still frozen on the outside.
Ready to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
They better bring a long extension cord, as Bob points out in the chat room. So,
I mean, these are pretty cool, and it's pretty interesting technology. I'm in favor of wind turbines for a lot of stuff, and too many NIMBYs complaining about, it makes too much noise, or it's an eyesore on the beautiful water out there. Really? And you're the people who don't want us to import more oil and use electric cars and stuff, but you just don't want to see it.
Well, I see this taking a political turn for the worse, so we better just put the signal on and go to the left here.
And what's literally better than a car from Holland?
Well, we're talking about things in the air.
Yes.
How do you see them up there, Jim?
Well, one of the things is you could get the fabulous Savage Revol.
Revolver.
Road Yacht GTS. Now, first of all, the concept of calling a car a road yacht shows some either strange motivation or a total lack of understanding what cars are all about. and it's nothing in between. It's one of the two. This company, it's a Dutch company. They've shown a concept vehicle that they say they're going to put in production. It has one of the weirdest roofs you've ever seen. It's a retractable hardtop. But imagine, if you will, this thing that looks like a spine that extends out of the back and hooks up to the windshield header. And then it has these horizontal panels or slats that sort of go together and form the roof.
I was going to ask why there's a UHF antenna on the back of this car.
Well, it can get channel 9. you have to get channel 49 UHF, sorry. But the point is they've got this roof that is an astonishingly complicated thing. And I don't know if anybody remembers this. The original Porsche Panamera, the original Porsche Cayenne had an optional multi-panel roof. It was fine, but they did it because the first ML had a roof that was made of a bunch of individual segments.
Like the Pontiac G6.
No, because these were slats, and there probably were 8 of them, and it leaked like a sieve. Now, the truth is, with a car like this, let's face it, no one that buys a road yacht GTS is going to be driving it in the rain.
That's a good
now,
name.
Because it's a road yacht, he may drive it into the water.
Does it handle salted water, though?
Well, remember, it's from Holland, so they have to deal with that, and they would have to deal.
They live below the water.
They live below the water, and they live below the sea level. And remember, almost any body of water there is a Z. Okay, a big lake is a Z. So it's an interesting car. The configuration of the car is such. It's very long. It's supposedly is a 4-seater, although it has surfacing, body surfacing that I call sort of surface
unique
excitement.
Yes.
There's a lot going on. But the roof is interesting. The problem with basically Dutch performance cars is they have a tendency to be sort of spiker-like in that they work for a while and then they make the mistake of trying to buy a big car company and it all goes so bad. So we can imagine that Savage Revolve will probably – my guess is they're going to buy Peugeot.
A small outfit not many folks have heard of.
Right. It's readily available. It's called Peugeot.
Peugeot, right?
But it ends with a T. Okay. Now, right. Savage Revolve ends with an E.
So you got your vowels and your consonants.
It's an interesting roof concept. Right. I wish them all the luck in the world.
Well, the Dutch are used to getting wet, so.
I know. They live below sea level.
Exactly. Well, moving along, I promised you two of our favorite things, and here they are. This next article comes from the Beatnik Nick Jalopnik. Jalopnik, you know.
That's easy for you to say.
We'll roll that one back.
According to the Beatnik Jalopnik.
Again?
The Beatnik Jalopnik.
Stop while you're behind.
Third time's a charm.
It is. He touched me.
Now you Brinks
truck will not grow there.
Yes. A Brinks truck carrying between $3 million and $9 million Canadian dollars collided with a tractor trailer schlepping a container load of candy. The chain reaction crash happened around 4 a.m. on Highway 11 near Ramon, Ontario. The Brinks driver is in serious condition, but the other motorists involved in the pileup, including a minivan driver, are actually fine. The candy, however, has been taken into police custody for further inspection. In other news, donut shops across the province are out of business.
You know, what if they had crashed into one filled with those little gold-covered chocolate candies? They wouldn't know what was the money and what wasn't.
The Rochelles or something?
Yeah. Right. I mean, seriously, it's like they would have these little chocolate loonies and stuff. They're going, oh, hey, I don't know what's going on. Where's the money?
Or and like
the
chocolate coins.
Chocolate coin. You could find some people trying to eat Canadian coins, okay?
Oh, I broke a tooth.
My teeth. But gold won't hurt me like nickel. Yeah, you know, if you ingest nickel, you go blind. But if you eat gold, you'll just crave this cinnamon schnapps with flecks in it.
What if you use like lead oxide as a sweetener? Like the Romans did, didn't they?
Oh, the Romans,
they're delicious. Adventurous eaters they
absolutely.
Were. Adventurous.
You know, and there was a time in Rome, whatever they're eating, just put honey on it and it's okay. Boom.
So, disaster up there in Ontario, but a pretty funny one. Candy and money. How can you... That's great. That's just a great combo. Eric Trico, speaking of combos.
Yes.
A lot of times you can combine a car and a roof carrier if you're going on a road trip.
Yeah.
You've got a different sort of...
Yeah. I mean, did you ever think that a crossover or an SUV would need an aspect? I mean, a fanny pack? Well, fret no more, because the good folks at Rightline Cargo have created the saddlebag. Now, the term saddlebag usually brings up imagery of something on the side of a horse or a motorcycle to carry items. However, this one rides out back. So technically, not a saddlebag. If you're of an age, you remember out on the highways of yore that cars would be rolling down the highway and they'd have these big fiberglass containers that were on the roofs of cars to carry all the extra cargo that couldn't fit into the cars and station wagons of the time. Not the most aerodynamic solution, but they were functional. Well, now with the saddlebag, your brick of an SUV will be a little less brickish with the 14 cubic feet of space of extra that's going to be riding out back.
14 cubic feet?
I think that's what it said.
That sounds awfully large.
Well, but, you know, if it's sticking out on the back, but that's an impressive number,
yes.
Actually.
14 cubic feet, 396 liters.
Or litras.
Litras for our
Canadian friends.
Non-American friends.
Well, no, because, you know, the French would say... L-I-T-R-E, but the Germans would say L-I-T-E-R.
Ah.
Lita.
Lita.
Like they say they.
It's also...
How do you tell between lake and ocean? Or sea? The gender changes.
Yeah. That's right.
Masculine.
Die das der.
Yes. It's also capable of carrying 45.5 kilograms of weight, or 100 pounds. So actually quite a bit. So now mothers... All throughout the United States will love this because they'll be able to carry not only the two strollers, but that extra playpen, the swing, and that third extra diaper bag just in case.
Is it an extra crumple zone, though, in an accident?
Well, obviously, yes. But I was thinking, you know, you might even be able to put the kids in it if you want them sort of quiet and out on their own. But well, that's bad for a crumple zone.
Mitt Romney was going to use it for his dog.
His dog, yeah.
Another question, though, Jim. What if you have it loaded with stuff? How is the access to the hatch?
Well, if a hatch, you'd probably have to lift it up too, so the hatch would suddenly be 100 pounds heavier. And when you did it up there, like if you were carrying like very expensive Uranian Easter eggs, for example, you know, the really expensive ones, then you would probably crush them when you tipped it forward and they would all fall forward. It would be horrible.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
That's the problem with Uranian Easter eggs.
They also make a smaller one called the rucksack, which fits just over the back glass, which is great for driving.
Is that Chinese?
Feihua.
The rucksack?
It's the rucksack. That
German,
It just covers the window?
Yeah.
It seems as though they could make this
They've
even
got it
more
backwards.
Aerodynamic.
I'm sorry. You Wouldn't you want it down lower?
Well, that's a Volvo C30. I mean, you can't really get much.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
Well, anyway, this is an add-on for extra storage. So like you said, Eric, those mothers can bring even more crap.
So you could put almost anything in it except perhaps a living animal.
You could still do that. They wouldn't.
And it would
be
muffled. It's cloth.
But they might claw their way through it, though, you see.
They might cloth their way through it.
Oh,
I can't go on, though.
That's
too funny.
I leveled up, Jim.
Oh, damn.
Why don't you tell us about Buick? Because they have leveled up. They are on the cutting edge of innovation.
Well, they were on the cutting edge of innovation and didn't realize it. You know, the truth is there was a time when Buick had the true insight of knowing what the future was all about. So they would take things like a Buick Century, which, by the way, was the only car ever named after the target age of the demographic group it was aimed at. And they made a T-type version of it, okay? And what they did is they took the chrome off the car and they blacked out the windows and they put some rather hideous aluminum wheels on it. And this is the car – this is so horrible – that they were going to use to get people out of Audis. Okay. Well, after that didn't work, the insightful folks at Buick decided that what they needed was a website. Now, let's face it. You go to any manufacturer's website and what you see is basically all the cars they've got, and it tells you – if you can't configure it, it shows the equipment that's on them and all the stuff you can get. Well, Buick did this in 1986. They actually – I think they did it in 85 for the 1986 Buick range, and they did it on like an Apple II diskette. All right. So you could take this and look – and if I remember correctly, the Apple II really didn't have anything irritating like a monitor. I think it was sort of – I think it was just like a little keyboard, wasn't it? The Apple II was a keyboard and you plug it in your television. Or if you had like a spare television monitor. So the thing is they had done functionally a dealer or a manufacturer's website long before the interwebs were real. Now the irony is when Buick actually had to get their real proper contemporary technology website up and running, when they were doing it, they had the buyers who were least likely to understand how to use a computer. And they're doing a website that has – I remember they had at one time a Tiger Woods golf game on it. And I'm trying to think of all the companies that had a website, the one car company on earth that didn't need it at the time was Buick. Now, Buick does now. So they should resuscitate this diskette idea, okay? But they should do it on one of those – what do they call it? Toenail drives?
Thumb drive.
Oh, is it a thumb drive? I thought they were toenail drives. Are they not? They're not the little tiny ones.
There are toenail drives, but those are kind of like crusty.
They flake.
Like them on my Mac.
Okay.
I only put them in Windows machines.
Well, yeah, like you could put those in this phone of Craig, because it's a Windows phone, isn't it, Craig?
It is a Windows telephone.
Yeah, right.
Pahone. 7.5.
It was a ballsy thing for them to do this because, you know, and I can imagine that somebody at the agency said, we should probably do this. You know, it's a good thing to do. But if you had told them that what you're doing, you would be doing again, they'd say, oh, no, you're crazy. No one's going to do this. And of all the divisions to do it, Buick. Now, bear in mind, when they did this, they were getting ready to sell that restyled version of the Chevrolet Cavalier.
The X-Car. J-Body.
The J-Body. Remember their J-Body? The Skyhawk. Oh, yeah. So sporty.
Isn't the last Buick with a manual before the Regal GS has come out? No. I believe it was.
Yes, it would have been. Yep. And, you know, the Regal GS with a manual. Well, you can get a manual in a regular 2-liter mm-hmm. turbo Regal. You don't have to get a GS to get one.
Well, yeah, I meant the Regal, but yeah.
And there are some the Jalopnik had this on the website, and they just the graphics on it. You look at them and you say, now those are as stylish a graphic as you could do today. I mean, I'm serious.
Ben looks like he did them in Photoshop, you know?
I think so.
They're just really good. Is there going to be an expansion pack for this? Because I want to keep playing.
Well, you know, it should be. And the expansion pack should have things like the Sunflower edition of the cars, you know, like the white, the pale yellow with a white vinyl top. Okay, because that's, you know, because that's the kind of thing you need to set off a website. Special edition cars.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you hear the sound effects that they had in the program?
No.
This is a good one after it went over a bump.
Your oxen have died. Anyway, that is hilarious. Buick on the cutting edge, believe it or not.
Bleeding edge at that time. It really was. No. You know?
What's behind the bleeding? Although I will have to say that my first experience on a computer was in 1982.
Apple II, probably. You were a Commodore man. No, an Amiga user, weren't you?
No.
I had a K-Pro.
A what?
A K-Pro. A CPM machine. Pre-DOS.
Oh, God.
Pre-1000
machine?
K-Pro. It was this big, giant box with a green CRT and two floppy disks. Everything had to be in a floppy disk. And it would the keyboard folded up into it. And I got it, and a guy that did car restorations that I know painted it for me, but he repainted it. It was all military and aged. Like, looked like it had been on the other planet.
Crank paint or something?
Well, and, I mean, he distressed it and so on. It actually looked pretty cool, but it was basically the world's heaviest, most impractical typewriter.
Remember those.
And on that note, we have got to take a break.
Already?
I know, but we'll be back with lots more quality program. We've got a Highway Hearsay coming up. We've got a new segment that Ben has pioneered, trying to spread out to a bit of a different audience here. And plus, we're going to play A Car by Any Other Name, back by popular – well
– by demand.
We're just going to – back because we felt
back.
Like it.
It's back, yeah. So, but that's by demand, not popular. But
well, it technically is still demand, right?
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, it's back and it's coming your way. So sit tight. We will be back. But we got to thank our friends at Amazon.com. And, Jim, I know you are an Amazon enthusiast.
I am an Amazon Prime user.
You two could be brothers.
So am I.
Oh.
Okay. So,
Craig, on the boat.
Optimus Prime.
You got to look at it. Not only do we like it so much that we spent money with them. Okay.
Now, when you renew your Prime, when you do your shopping, do you first go to roundaboutshow.com? Because you should, Jim.
When it comes up for renewal, I will.
You click.
But I don't renew it before it runs out. That drives them mad. They get very upset when you do that. They're like, "What are you? Is this guy crazy?" And then they cut you off.
They cut you off?
If they're like
a bartender, you've had enough.
That's right.
Get out.
No more Prime for him.
No. Prime rib. You got to go to roundaboutshow.com, Jim.
You go to the show at the link. You use the link at the website, right?
It's at the top of the page. It says Amazon.
Anytime you're ready to order anything, even though you already have Prime.
It works.
Oh, anything you order? Seriously.
Anything.
Seriously.
You go to Amazon. Just follow
the
banner.
You go to roundaboutshow.com first. Click that banner. Order whatever you're going to order. Same great deals. Roab just gets a little bit of credit for that.
And same free shipping, right?
Anyway, so we got to thank our friends at Amazon. You go to roundaboutshow.com. Anytime. Is that a Netflix icon in your dock, Jim?
No. It's an old navigator.
Oh, okay.
Netscape.
That's
what it was.
Not Netflix.
Anyway, Amazon.com. We're asking you go to roundaboutshow.com first. Anytime you're going to purchase anything from Amazon, go to our website first. You'll see the banner ad at the top of the page. You click on that. You do your shopping just as you normally would. You get the same great deals. If you're a Prime member, you get free shipping as well. You do your shopping as you normally would. We get a little bit of credit, and we appreciate your business. I've been doing it. Ben, I know you've been doing it. It's a great thing to do.
And this will allow Roundabout to do a better job for all of the listeners, right?
Of course.
Naturally. We are a
We wouldn't just pocket the money. Use it for frozen custard.
You got frozen custard? Oh, sorry.
Litters down the road on 8 Mile. Anyway, we like to highlight a couple of picks of the week via Amazon, and we've got two going on right now. The first one I found, which is cool. Ben has one he'd like to present, but it's considerably less so. My find is a low-temperature stainless steel Stirling engine model. And, Jim, I'm just going to throw this to you to explain how this works. It's an engine that runs off of a heat source, basically.
Yes, it's a heat cycle engine, and they are technically considered external combustion.
External combustion.
Which is a term that always disturbed me because I have been trying for my own internal combustion, so I've just burst into flame in a meeting or something, and it's never happened.
Need an outside source. Damn. So what? You apply the heat source, it causes an expansion of air in a chamber or something, and that's what...
Basically, yes.
Runs the engine.
Yes.
Very neat. And they've got a tabletop model available for $89.95, made out of stainless steel. I believe it goes on top of a coffee mug, and you can have this neat little flywheel that spins. Pretty cool
stuff. From the heat
of
the coffee mug.
Yes.
Yes. Because coffee is energy.
It's liquid engineering. Wait.
No.
Anyway, Ben, you had a find as well, something you've been vacillating, although I'm sure you've already ordered it. What is it? And
none of your business. But I have
screw
been,
you, Craig.
I have been drooling over the AOC E1649FWU 16. Well, according to this post, 16 foot USB powered portable LED monitor. You can see. I mean, if it was 16 foot, why I'd be drooling over?
Feihua.
Turns out, upon further research, it's 16 inches. But still.
But that doesn't make it any less crisp and good and intrinsically pleasant.
Exactly. Yes, Craig.
Universal serial bus.
2.0?
Probably.
4.0?
I don't know that it matters when you're powering a monitor.
Or when
it.
You're Amazon Prime.
But I don't know. This is just a really cool device because basically I'm thinking I'm going to switch to the 15-inch for my day-to-day work, but that's not quite enough real estate for me. So I'm going to get this 16-inch monitor. It's powered by my laptop. No additional power. I just plug it into the USB.
No strings attached.
And I've got a second monitor for editing Hall versus Hall, for example.
So when you're using Spaces, it's much more effective.
Exactly.
Wow.
I'm getting excited.
That is a find of the week, Ben.
$99 and eligible for Prime or Prime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Good. We pronounce the E at the end like revolver.
Prime. It's Italian. Anyway, so again, Amazon.com, go to our website first, roundaboutshow.com. You see the banner right at the top. You click on that. You do your shopping. You order your stuff, and you help us out. And we thank you for your support.
Ready at Amazon.
Anyway, moving along, it is time for another auto gadget. I'll get you next time, Gadget.
I love 8-bit music.
Next time. So, Ben, you have found this little ditty from a website, redferret.net.
What?
It is the handpresso.
Oh.
It's not as awful as you think. It's not a self-pleasuring device. it is in a way, but not in a way.
The pleasure from a good cup of espresso with a good crema is it's hard to describe to people.
Exactly.
And you could do this while driving.
Whilst, even.
Whilst. Now, if you were to do this, because the espresso machine normally takes the piston, takes a fair amount of power, would this make the car run slower?
It could.
It is an electrical draw.
Yes, exactly.
It plugs into the 12-volt accessory port.
So basically, well, it's like a little mug, essentially. That you plug into the outlet.
Mm-hmm. And a little taller, like a travel size mug.
That's what I meant, yeah, mm-hmm. A travel mug. You plug it into the 12-volt socket, and it makes you a frothy, steaming, delicious cup of espresso. Eric, that's just the thing you need on a cold, wintry morning to get yourself moving, you know?
Usually 4 shots of espresso and some hot water, yes.
Or after, yeah, you know, after you have dinner, you go out for dinner, and you're driving home, and you can enjoy the espresso while motoring in your fine car.
Yes.
Absolutely. So the Handspresso Auto Gadget for this week.
With
very
a full
innovative.
16 bar of pressure.
What was that in kilopascals, Jim?
It's a lot. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. It's more than you want to put in your tires.
Because that's how they make the espresso. They have to
16 times 4
pressurize it or something, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
How does that work? Like, walk us through the espresso process, Jim.
The funny thing is that espresso actually has less caffeine in it than regular coffee because the water goes through it very quickly.
Mm.
But it's very strong, and they have a piston to push the hot water through and get it through fast, and it's expanding. You know, you can't compress water. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You can try. And that's how you get, like, things like 16-bar things, actually.
Wow. So very interesting. There's an English translation of the company's website. Apparently they are French. News to me.
Oui.
Well, oui. Very, very pressing kind of thing.
Oh.
Jim hates puns, by the way.
Oh, it's awful.
Now, if you watch the video that they've got on the website, you'll notice that if you have espresso, you will win over many female
this is
followers.
This is proven scientific fact.
Mm-hmm.
Not scientific, mm-hmm. Scientific.
Scientific, yeah.
No, scientific.
Scientific, yeah.
Yeah, because there's no such thing as science.
Right, exactly.
In high school, you studied science.
Ciencia.
But it's true. I mean, everybody knows this, that if mm-hmm. you have a hot espresso with a little crema on top, that's the beigey stuff on top. If you have that, the woman from
it's pheromone.
Well, and not the woman from the original Abarth 500.
The woman from Empanada?
No. But the woman from the original 500 Abarth commercial mm-hmm. will come because she likes the foam. You saw what she did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, she's yours. If you got that thing in your car, you just sort of.
Absolutely.
And you could be driving, truthfully, you know, a Vega.
Right.
But you just wave this thing around, and it's like a totem. It's just sort of,
Yeah. Yeah. And that is why you notice, you know, you had talked about using this while driving, and you could. But in the commercial here, they show the guy actually stops, gets out of the car.
He hand stresses himself responsibly.
She can run.
Yes.
But it's just you get a little quicker
if you
stop and let her catch
understand.
Up.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe you don't get the twisted ankle from the stilettos.
Precisely.
You got to be careful when you're hand pressoing. Just remember that. And best of all, you can purchase this for just 109 and 40 euros. It can be yours.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually use
it's a steel.
You could use this as a defensive weapon in your car as well if it's got
cudgel.
No, I'm thinking if the liquid's coming out with a fair amount of hot. Yeah, exactly.
Back off!
You scalded my eyes.
Better than mace.
But it's great espresso.
The pain is delicious.
This is just too much fun, and I think we'd better move on to our highway.
Stay on target. We're too close. Stay on target.
What's our next section, Craig?
Highway hearsay.
Highway hearsay. Tales from the open road.
Ben from the 1930s recorded that for us. That
I sure did.
That little number.
Wow, Ben.
Using that voice is the cat's pajamas, I see.
23 Skidoo.
What's going on? Anyway, so drunkenness is hilarious. Cars can be fun, too. Not necessarily together. But Russian couple over there in, well, what would it be, the former Soviet Union?
No, it would be in Russia.
Oh, that's
it's Russia. That's you know, it's called Russia.
Or some other Slavic country.
You're not sure it's Russia?
I don't know. I could read the article, but come on.
Oh, okay.
That's too much work.
It does say they were a Russian pair.
Okay. Well, there you go. They're futzing around in the road.
Being in a hurry pair.
This is one man laugh factory here.
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth again.
This is what happens from sleep deprivation. I'm less funny than normal.
Jim, what does this say? You have a master's degree in the Slavic languages.
No, I don't.
I can hear him
this
reading.
This is not a Slavic language. This is Cyrillic language. So that's the first
Whatever
problem.
It is.
But I don't know. It's. I could figure it out eventually, but.
Agree to disagree.
So it might even be Belarus. That's another problem because they are different.
And Ukrainian is different from Russian. Yeah. Blah, blah. They say all these people want to be different. Anyway, this couple is staggering along in the road in the center turn lane of what looks like a 5-lane road. And this guy is shooting them with his, I'm assuming, a camera, a cell phone camera here. And they're staggering along the road. And then this guy gets out of his car. Gets out of the passenger seat, walks around to the other side of the car. They're stopped in the center turn lane and just starts beating the crap out of the drunk guy. Pushes him to the ground, drags his drunken ass to the curb, and dumps him on the ground again.
Where he actually sets him up to be pinioned under the wheels of the bus.
I know. Then he grabs the woman, pushes her down too.
No.
And that's the video.
Oh, my.
You know, I hope no one was hurt.
Their livers were already hurt.
Wow. They're born that way.
Jim, would you do this? If crossed?
If crossed.
I could see where there would be a situation where I might do that.
Because I know Eric would. He
Eric,
don't take
no,
no
not
S.
would. He has. Haven't. Tell us that just time was, in college.
Oh, wait, you're talking about, I thought you meant get out of the
car. 87, wasn't it?
And yeah, I am.
Yeah, I would get out of the car to push Eric to the ground. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
But I'd wait until he was both drunk and sleep deprived. Because, you know, I want to make sure that I can get back to the car and lock the door. And then while he's trying to break the window, I would be looking for the handspresso, okay?
In that case, just wait till a little bit later tonight.
Because he is a formidable opponent. You need every advantage you can get.
I would have to cheat. I would have to use probably Bennett or Sahaki, my men that usually follow me in the gray Camry.
Do they, it's they not beat called, people it's into not, paste, right?
I use them to beat my opponents into paste.
Or very fine beef product, it's not, whatever it's called.
Be. It's not cheating. It's using all your resources to your advantage.
Okay. So that's what it's called.
You know, I knew there was something I really liked about you, Eric. Just remember that attitude when my men are beating you into paste later tonight.
So, in less personally harmful news, though, Ben, we have got a brand new segment. We are debuting it right here on Roundabout, episode number 1, 2, 3.
Systems.
It's as simple as 1, 2, 3, in fact.
And this segment has never been done before?
It's true!
Or probably since.
And we're
ever again!
So this truly is one of those moments in history that all of the people in the chat room, though in a way they're participating in this.
Jim, we are an icebreaker plowing our way toward the North Pole, gouging through the frozen turf.
Ice. and probably bisecting polar bears and little baby seals that are in our way.
Keeping the shipping lanes open and free.
Stubborn
for all
seals
Americans.
Getting bisected by our icebreaker.
They have plenty of time to get out of the way, let's be honest. All right.
And seal surgeons can reattach them, I understand.
Yeah.
Reattach them together.
In theory. Yeah.
Anyway, we know everyone is not as gaga over cars as we are, so we're trying to broaden our footprint, you know, do a little community service, if mm-hmm. you will, by catering to the crowd that doesn't like to travel anywhere.
Go away! We don't want none!
And now, news for shut-ins.
And that sound drop is a melange of all different roundabout memes Ben has Frankenstein together here.
Yes. It was easy.
I know. So,
yay me.
News for shut-ins. Folks, Jim, that don't like to travel. I know you're very itinerant. Eric, as well. You get out quite often. Often, however you want to say it. And so this is not applicable to you guys. But please, your input is appreciated. First on the list, coming from Gizmag.
Say it carefully.
Gizmag. They've got a special Bluetooth device. It is a refrigerator magnet, and this is positively brilliant. It's a pizza shop in Dubai is handing these out. You pair the Bluetooth device with your phone. You attach it to the front of your fridge. You push the magnet. It's got a built-in button on it.
Magnet.
You push that button. It automatically orders you a pizza.
You do not have to leave the house, gentlemen.
I think this is probably one of the most amazing and enabling technologies that you could possibly introduce into Dubai.
Is it an obesity enabler?
No. I mean, you know, it would depend on what you had on the pizza.
Well, you program it with your – it uses your smartphone.
And would it work with a Windows phone?
What doesn't work with a Windows phone, Jim?
Well, you don't really want me to start.
Don't knock it till you tried it. So – You pre-program basically what you want.
Keep going. I'm just going to try to do the things with it that I normally do with a phone.
Like, not on it. Wow. Tastes like Redmond.
Which is better than Hellville. I mean Belleville. Bellevue, sorry.
Well, you program the pizza you want. So if you like the anchovies, Ben, with the meat lovers, with the whatever else is disgusting that you get on a pizza all the time, Ben.
Mm-hmm,
you can program that. You push the button. It sends you your thing. The delivery driver can put it right through the mail slot because you don't want to deal with them anyway. You'll hang the money out on the door.
I'm looking at this picture of the Bluetooth magnet here.
Magnet.
And I'm seeing tomato, and I'm seeing mushroom, and olives, and
basil.
But I'm also seeing some other green leaf things that I'm not sure of. And I'm wondering if that pepperoni that's on there, if that's halal.
It has to be.
You would think so, logically. Yeah.
All right.
You can make sausage out of any kind of meat.
That's true.
And there's lamb sausage. It's very tasty. I would like – and I know this. This is not the kind of food they would have in Dubai. But I always thought a shawarma pizza would actually be pretty good.
I'm thinking
– I'm serious now.
Chicken korma pizza.
Do you like Indian food, Jim?
I like Northern Indian food a lot, and Southern Indian food, yeah. But
it's a little spicy, isn't it?
Well, I like it spicier, the better. But the thing is, it's just Indian food's pretty tasty.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's arousingly good.
Actually,
the funniest thing though,
TMI. I don't.
The
funniest thing though is to watch a European person who's used to using a fork and knife for all of their food. To take them to an Indian restaurant and watch them trying to eat Indian food with a fork and knife.
Uh-huh.
It is entertaining. Hours of entertainment.
At home, I eat pizza with a fork and a knife.
It's just neater.
I do. I don't.
No, I'm
but
not
people,
saying.
I do this and people go, what? That's how you eat pizza? It's like I must
un-American.
I'm associating with animals.
Have you ever tried to eat a deep dish pizza and not use a fork and knife?
Deep dish is disgusting. Let's
I love
be honest.
Deep dish pizza.
Scalding your hands. There's only the deep dish pizza I like is Buddy's.
It's just
I'll tell you why.
Buddy's is awesome. I love Buddy's.
The crust is unlike anything else. And if you're not from Detroit, you don't know about this. It's one of our special foods we have here. That's actually unusual and it's good.
It's rated one of the best pizzas. In the United States by what? SGQ or
by people that don't know shit about Pizza Magazine. That's who.
Can you say
it.
That word?
Market.
I
Ben.
Just did.
Magazine. I mean.
Magazin.
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 Yeah, it means department store.
Zeitschrift.
The other thing that I like is proper thin pizza cooked with coal with just tomato, mozzarella. That's it. A margarita. A proper margarita.
Exactly.
Well, that would have basil on it, too, then, wouldn't it?
The thin crust.
It would have basil.
An original margarita didn't have basil. It got added later on, but it's good. But it's the original is the best.
It just so happens my fiancée is actually in New York on Manhattan right now, and I've been telling her there's this place. You got to go across the Brooklyn Bridge. It's kind of underneath it, and it's one of the original coal-fired pizza places. Oh, really? Cool. I'll have to go do that.
You know there's one here in Michigan.
Yeah? Mm.
Yes, at the western edge of Franklin, Michigan.
Frangerin?
Frangerin. Yes. Called Tomatoes Pizza, which to me is such an affectation of a name, but it's coal-fired and you just get the basic pizza. It's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. Not to distract us further, but not Tomatoes a Pizza, which is what we have around here, that place.
It's
Tomatoes
like
a Pizza.
Up the road.
No, this is different.
Okay,
is
good. Because totally that place is disgusting.
Yes.
And it's not coal-fired, I bet.
No, they use a hairdryer, I think.
Well, that's science-ific.
Yes. So moving along, I know pizza's making me hungry, and it's going to be trouble if we keep talking about
for
it.
For shut-ins, though, if they brought it through the mailbox, because we talked about the technology for shut-ins. That's what brought this up, right?
Yes.
So would they be able to perhaps add some sort of an enzyme or something and introduce it in liquid form so the person could drink the pizza?
Like nutrient slurry. My favorite.
Nutrient slurry.
Well, I remember when they opened up the Cup of Pizza chain. They were great. They were really good.
Moving along, guys. Moving along.
If you were to eat too much pizza, you might need a plug. Speaking of plugs.
Would you really need a plug, Ben? Because you'd be way too much plugged up.
I think you'd get even bigger. You'd have other problems. You want to, you would.
You'd be dropping type 1s on the Bristol scale, if you know what I mean. You would have cinder blocks for stool. Don't act like it's not true, Jim.
I don't want to hear any of this. Is Blob in the website?
Is that the right place?
That's the wrong place, actually.
It doesn't look like it.
Okay. Get that out of here.
That's also on
Blob says, ouch!
Type 1!
All right, how about this for a segue? Speaking of New York,
yes.
They have subways.
They do, the first subways.
Yes, and we're not even talking about the eateries. We're talking about the underground train thingies.
No.
Oh, I thought this was for the eateries.
No.
Goner eateries.
No, subway, you know.
Yes, yes. Eat fresh. Wow, that's creepy. Anyway, so what we've got here for shut-ins, you want to keep people at bay. Let's say you're living in the subway tunnel. You want to stop traffic. They've developed a giant plug that inflates with either air or water, and it blocks off the subway tunnel. So if there's been an accident or a terrorist attack or fumes coming out, they can seal it off.
So if you're Ron Perlman recreating Beauty and the Beast or whatever that show was
right,
from the 80s.
Yep.
You know, there's like an interesting thing here because if you're going to use this because there's some sort of horrific fume or something, you would want to be – there's this side of the plug you really would want to be on, okay? And we need to emphasize this, that the plug itself is not the solution. The solution is being on the right side of the plug.
And Jim, plug singular is also not going to be of much value.
With a subway tunnel, that's absolutely correct. Yeah,
you need more than one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting. You got to check out roundaboutshow.com. Check out the photos of this thing, courtesy of Gizmag again.
How fast would they inflate this thing? That's
probably
what they didn't
2 hours,
really,
probably.
That's what
it
I'm saying.
Slow.
They didn't get into that. And I would think, you know, if you have some sort of incredible toxic gas coming from the core of
all
the Earth.
The workers would be dying. They got those foot pumps they're stepping on.
Faster!
Better the foot pumps than the bicycle pump. You know, a bunch right. of the bicycle pumps in series. You know, that's when you, are in peril. No, in series.
Anyway, moving along.
You could
we've got
generate
another.
Literally dozens of PSI that
or
way.
Or kilopascals.
A few kilopascals.
Solar eruptions cause sunquakes?
What is
I
next?
I am locking myself in the cellar. Water quakes?
Horrible.
Ocean quakes?
Moon quakes.
No.
Yes.
This is plenty of reason to stay inside.
Absolutely. And you might want to put the plugs on the front and back door of your house.
What about
precisely.
Mars quakes? Because Total Recall is being redone.
That's true.
I know. I can't believe it.
A study led
the
by
first one
UCL,
was perfect.
By UCL's Mullard Space Science Laboratory, has shown for the first time that sunquakes can be produced during eruptions of magnetic field and charged particles as the immense magnetic structure blasts off into the solar system.
That's
a lot to digest.
What's the automotive tie-in to this? Or there just isn't
for shut-ins. You don't want to be,
for shut-ins.
If you have these sunquakes, you want to be in the subway on the correct side of the two plugs to protect you from the incredibly toxic radiation and the carnivorous mutant dogs that will be released afterwards.
After the ocean quakes.
Gotcha.
Be on the lookout, Jim.
We take the moon for granted. If I'm out at night and there's a full moon, I will, or even close to it, I will have to go get my moon tan cream. so I don't get a burn because it is sunlight that's being Precisely. Reflected.
And you are of British descent.
I'm very pale. I have to wear contacts to hide the pink eyes. yeah, it disturbs people when you do that. And people say,
Your
oh, it's
pink
getting,
eye?
Oh, well, yeah, that's, you know, I mean, just I'm an albino, or as they say in England, an albino.
Albino.
Albino. Mm. Yeah, those albinos are trying to get into government
again. You're beta testing everything?
Beta testing.
Yes, Minister. All right. Very good. That concludes news for shut-ins. And Ben, I do believe we are on to the main course here, the entree of the
Finally.
Dinner.
Finally. All the these appetizers dinner. Of pizza and plugs and... Quakes. Mm.
Now, pizza plug. There's an idea. You could eat it.
Is there a sound drop for this one, Ben?
No.
Well, go ahead and play it then, and I'll start off on the reading here.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, folks, it is time for one of Roundabout's newest games. Not the newest. We just introduced that to you a few moments ago. Where we name the cars, and you, our enthusiastic, loyal, stupendous audience, do the rest. And we call this a car by any other name. Now, last time we had Bob Hall, the DNA...
Not last time. We had Michelle, we had Alvin Accor, and Chris Sawyer.
Christopher Sawyer. I have not seen his mill, but I assume he has one, given his name. Anyway, the last time a Hall played, it was Bob. Jim, you have not participated in this contest yet.
This game is new to me.
You're cheating. Close those tabs.
Oh, I thought that we is were not for you. To open that. I was...
No tabs for you.
No tabs for me. No tabs for you. Okay.
So, in each round of this game, and we will have five rounds, four plus a bonus, I will announce a fictional make and model, and each panelist, in this case Eric and Jim, will take his or her turn, describing based on only the name what each vehicle moniker, what each
Jim
vehicle
or
really
Eric,
is.
His or her, okay, fine.
So, let's say we have the Langostini Clarafino. What is that? Well, it could be a convertible crossover. It could be a coupe minivan. Whatever it is, you can name where it's built, who the chief engineer was, all fictitious. Where it was manufactured, who designed it.
All of these earn you extra points,
Jim.
Because the more convincing you are.
Extra points. Mm-hmm. I like extra points.
Well, some people call them extry.
Extry points, well.
It could be powered by a V7 engine with a power thrift economizer knuckle. You make it up, it's all fair game, Eric. He's in a coma. So, the winner of each round of the five rounds will be determined by the fickle hordes in our chat room.
They're not fickle. They are the finest, best judgments of anyone I can imagine. These people are...
They're the best at judging.
They're just the best. Absolutely.
So
you are all the finest human beings I've ever known.
Bob says he votes for anyone but Craig, but sadly, Bob, I am not playing this. This is a shootout.
Bob, meaning Bob?
Bob.
Oh.
Bob.
Beater. So, the chatters, Ben will post a link in there after each round, and you... We'll vote for who wins. So shall we get started, Ben?
We shall. And we'll put a one-minute timer on each of these.
Okay.
So you got to keep it succinct. We've got five rounds, four plus a bonus round. Okay?
All right. You're going to time it.
I will keep time.
And who shall go first?
I flipped a coin, and it's Eric.
All right. So the round one, our first vehicle, is the Molaster Limited by the Lake Champlain Company.
Eric?
He's very pleased.
Go, Eric. Go, Eric. Go.
Your time has started now.
The Molaster Limited is a new 4x4 automobile trucklet by the Lake Champlain Company. From its historical roots as a logging trucking company, its ability to go in deep into the woods... Is nonstop, but much like Land Rover and everything they do, or Jeep is everything trail rated, the Molaster Limited is able to bring logs from anywhere in the world to any place in the world.
And he's done.
And I'm done.
Well done, and under time. Jim?
The Molaster Limited from the Lake Champlain Company, that's a company that got its start making seaplane floats. And their first cars were repurposed seaplane floats. They had the Happy Jolly Roadster, which was their most popular car. But unfortunately, many people were injured in it as the body delaminated into the driver's chest. So they've decided to do a series of regular production cars. The unique characteristic is they use a papier-mâché body. They're four-door sedans meant to compete with things like the Toyota Corolla. They started out with the Molaster DX, and then they realized it was too expensive, so they did the Molaster Semi-DX. And now they've got the top of the line, the Molaster Limited, which has an interior upholstered in genuine synthetic ostrich hide with the feathers. Now, this makes it unique amongst all small cars. And it's also available with an optional chinchilla steering wheel glove. It's the most expensive molaster that's ever been built at about $39,000. But with that paper mache body that you yourself can reform with just a little water and a little bit of handwork, it's a car ready for today or perhaps yesterday.
Handwork meaning surgery?
You can reform the fender if you don't like the way it looks. You know, right. You just get it wet and kind of squeeze it around.
And Randy in the chat says, OMG.
And he did that with 1O, 1M, and 1G, right?
In separate posts, yes. Happy Jolly Roadster, is this a Chinese company, large mentally disabled asks?
No, but the truth is their chief engineer, Mr. Cho, was second generation.
This is not another round.
Okay, never mind. No.
All right, Ben, have you pasted the link in the chat room?
I'm about to, but I will say one thing. When I initially made these up, we thought that Craig and Jim would be going head-to-head.
Boom.
It is now Eric and Jim. So when you vote for Craig, it's a vote for Eric. So the poll will say...
So I'm screwed, basically.
Just say you're Eric, and they'll get it.
A vote for Craig is a vote for Eric. So vote for Eric by voting for me.
And a vote for Craig is a vote for Craig.
That too.
And a vote for Eric is
a
vote for Eric.
Ben, is that in there?
It is. Chat vote away. Room. Vote now.
Vote now and vote often.
Okay, the votes are coming in, gentlemen. We've got 33% for Craig, who is Eric, and 79% for Jim, who is Jim.
33 plus 79.
We're at
is
20.
This Chicago math?
I'm thinking the same thing. You could actually be doing much better.
Those dead folks were voting. Yeah.
More votes came in as I was getting to the next one. Because we now have 80% for Jim and 20% for Craig, who is Eric.
A gentleman's 20%. We did pretty good.
I think you guys did a great job.
Jim, I think the precincts are closed.
You know what I say
Jim
to that?
A winner.
A winner is you.
All both of... me.
Us.
Anyway, round two. Who's ready for round two?
Sure.
Why not?
Sure.
I want to see the name here.
Hold on.
I'm putting something else on my computer, something evil.
Oh, dear. But I thought you weren't the evil twin.
No, but I do this to get the evilness out of my system.
You purge the evil rather than...
On Bob, it's inside festering. Oh, sorry.
All right.
Bob is the kindest, nicest person I've ever known, and I might want to borrow a kidney from him.
You may need to someday. All right, round two.
Yes.
You ready? It is the model is the Valvenheed, and it's by Cornwallis Motors.
And this time, we start with Jim.
Oh! Whoa. Clock starts
now.
When Ben says so.
Now! There.
It's the Valvenheed by Cornwallis Motors.
Cornwallis Motors is one of those companies that got its start in England by making wind-up sewing machines. You wind the sewing machine up, and you could work it for a while. And this was for people that wanted to sew that didn't have feet. So it was, you know, they're used to alternative kinds of power. The Valvenheed uses a unique engine, and it's a carbon vibrator motor that basically has a mahogany piston and a clay ring in a freestanding piston cylinder. Now, the car doesn't work at all, but it's been declared the safest car in all of Britain because of this. And one of the secrets is it has center driving. So they didn't have to worry about exporting the car and making right and left-hand drive. It was done. The body, the mahogany body, is described as the master of the carpenter's world. It's a spectacular car. Don't let it get wet.
It's the prince of the forest, mahogany. The timber quality. Is it
truly the prince of the... So it's sort of like the Parmesan of woods.
Perhaps. Less edible.
Is it Prince Spaghetti Night? Or Mahogany Spaghetti Night?
Mahogany Spaghetti Night.
All right. Eric. And now it is Eric's turn. So, Eric, what is the Valvenheed from Cornwallis Motors?
Well, what's old is new again, and once again we are going to the old-style flathead engine. Apparently, it's become much more ecologically friendly. As you can see, Valvenheed, Valvenhead. So, and we're going back to the old flathead. And Cornwallis Motors has made this ecologically friendly engine by recycling 1920s engines.
It's more compact.
But giving them direct injection.
Woo! And I'm sure that all the forces in the engine are ready for that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're using old design, new material.
They're improving the proven.
Exactly.
You don't want to risk it under the hood.
So because this is so ecologically friendly and it's a completely recycled car, everything is made from recycled materials because we're trying to be ecologically friendly. Like the Fisker Karma where they went and got the wood from the bottom of the lakes and
reclaimed
and used it in the interior. And the recycled dead cows for the interior. The Valvenheed is recycled metals, 100% recycled metals, 100% recycled plastics.
technology too?
It's ecological for the 21st century.
Eco-technological.
Yes.
Eat recycled food. Eat recycled food.
All right, Ben.
Good for the environment. Okay for you.
We got to get a verdict from the loyal chat room. I should be pointing over this way because that's where the camera is. Looking at you.
Hi.
Vote,
I have
Ben.
Inserted the link, Craig. People will start
Insert
voting for you.
Poor word
who
choice,
is
Ben.
Eric?
I think this is going to be the result, Eric.
Hopefully he's wearing more than...
That's King Slender, by the way.
Eric, you're in the lead.
What?
We have 5 votes for Craig, who is Eric.
That's right. Craig is Eric.
Eric has mount...
One
Eric,
vote for Jim.
Eric is jump has got his troops. They're on the Bofors mount. Here come the kamikazes in, and they're just shooting them down with 40-millimeter shells. They're not hitting the aircraft carrier.
I believe we have all precincts of the chat room reporting.
The winner is?
Oh, a winner is Eric.
It's Eric.
There or we go. Me. See?
We've got 83%. Winner!
We're at a dead heat now. I should
83% for Craig.
Don't say a dead heat.
All your base belong to me.
all your base are belong to us.
All right, we're tied up. One round for Jim, one round for Eric, the Tritco. The tiebreaker is not the next round, but we'll play it anyway.
Exactly.
What? I'm not understanding.
And the fictitious automobile in question is called the Flumberfelt Extreme. Eric, I believe you have honors and go first this round. What is the... We'll give him 5 or 6 seconds here to think about it. What is the Flumberfelt Extreme? Ben?
Well, it's a new... the Flumberfelt Extreme, the new car from Austria. The idea was drawn from the design of the Glock, where we're going to make it as ugly as possible, but it will always run. That's why it's extreme. It'll always – you can always count it. Every time you turn the key, it's going to start and drive. Just like every time you hold a Glock in your hand and press the trigger, it will go bang. So the Flumberfelt Extreme does take the design and the inspiration from its fellow Austrian company Glock and brings it to the automobile industry, where it ain't much to look at. But you can rely on it every single time. Everyone will bitch about it because they find something they don't like. You know, it's a little too plasticky. It's a little too blocky. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the most reliable car on the market that you can buy and at a great value.
That's because it's extreme.
Exactly.
Closing arguments from Eric are complete. Feihua.
The Flumberfelt Extreme is a car that the company was heavily influenced by Hummer early on, and their development process takes forever. They decided to build a crossover, a full sport utility vehicle, that is, that was 1.2 stories tall. That was the idea. Now, it's very expensive, and it has chandeliers, and it's very nicely equipped inside, but they kind of ran out of development money partway through it, and they couldn't really do it four-wheel drive. And they realized it would have to be two-wheel drive, but they wanted to have an extreme driving experience, so it's driven by the left front and right rear wheel. Now, it has a power steering system that theoretically has been designed to overcome this with advanced software. Unfortunately, the software, well, you have to understand, the Flumberfelt is built in Cranjovia, where their idea of software is what you use to sort of make a sandwich. So they're doomed from the start. But the vehicle is extreme. It's renowned for going around in circles very fast and taking buildings out in the process. It's not popular. It is NASCAR, basically. and it's set up so it would go around a NASCAR track real good. But it's so tall, the other faster cars would be able to drive under it. And so it's the competition for the extreme hasn't worked. One extreme has been sold to Donald Trump.
And I hate to say this, guys, but in this case, you're both wrong. The Flumberfelt Extreme is actually a body-on-frame B-segment pickup truck with center-wheel drive. It's got a fifth wheel in the middle.
Oh.
It's a safety issue because don't want oversteer.
Oh, you would.
It's dangerous. But front-wheel drive has such limitations. So they do center-wheel drive for the best of all worlds. It's powered by a 1.7-liter single overhead cam four-cylinder engine.
Oh, four-cylinder. That's wasteful.
Actually,
but that
it's
is extreme.
It's a
V4.
It's an iV8. It's a V6 V like you'd normally expect with a vertical cylinder on each end. iV. Inline V8. Anyway, vote. Early, vote often.
The votes should be coming in now.
Are the votes coming in even as we speak?
They are indeed, Jim Hall.
From 2953 Analytics.
Jim, you're closing up your gap. So we've got 3 votes for you at 75%. Oh, a new one just came in. We're up to 4. 80% for you. 1 for Craig, who is Eric.
I'm sensing a theme. Whoever goes second wins.
I'm sensing this too. So why don't we do it at the same time?
I'll put you in one ear and one in the other, and they can choose who to listen
channel,
to in the podcast.
Left channel versus right channel.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Okay.
Stereo, and we can this will challenge the minds of our incredibly insightful listeners.
You're yeah, pandering.
Again, we have all
I'm
pre
not pandering.
They're endangered. Round four.
Yes.
The second to last and not final round. And exactly. The vehicle in question, gentlemen, Jim, you will be going first.
All right.
This round. So I hope you're sitting down.
I'm
actually,
sitting down.
I can see you. I'm actually looking at you because you're I am inches from me. The vehicle in question is the Pembroke Donalbain Forskin.
Force? Kin. Hyphen kin.
I got it.
Force
I got it.
Hyphen
yeah.
kin.
Okay. I got it.
From the Pembroke Donalbain Corporation.
Yes. The Pembroke Donalbain is famous for making cars that are basically repurposed other vehicles. And they were the guys that did the 1948 Plymouth, and they took the body off of it, and they put a new body on it that made it look almost but not completely unlike a Chevrolet Corvette. And this was their original sports car, and it was called the Volvo Amazon. It was not popular for reasons that I think we all understand. They were trying to get some business out of Volvo buyers. It didn't work. So this vehicle is an attempt for a more masculine position in the market. And the car is one of those cars that when you see it in the advertising – It makes you feel turgid with power. The car is incredibly powerful, but it's only good for 8-9 days, and then it disappears.
And he's done early, because that's a terrible car name.
I cannot imagine a worse car name except perhaps Chevrolet Cobalt.
Oh. I could have sworn it was going to be Monkey Puss.
Yeah. Monkey Puss is a good name.
Or Ford Probe.
Or I was thinking a worse name, Windows Phone.
Oh, that would be a horrible name for a car.
Yeah.
Are you ready to go?
Go, Eric. Go, Eric.
Family
go.
Car. It's kin.
Yeah, kin.
It's forcing you to have a family.
Actually, what people don't realize is that this is an old it is an old English car company that the Chinese have bought the naming rights to, and they're trying to re-enter the English market. So with force, right? They're trying to make a but they need to keep that the China the kin is for the Chinese portion of it, right? Because that was one of the founders who helped buy the
Mr.
the naming
kin.
Rights, Mr. Kim. Yes, Mr. Kim. So force, and in his inspiration, he's bringing this car to England as part of China trying to. Make some headway. Yeah, make its headway back into Europe and into the UK with the Pembroke Donalbain. Now the Forskin is actually just a nice family four door car, entry level, good value. Actually, very good value is because that's the only way anyone is going to buy a Chinese car. Is
especially
because
with the name of the Forskin.
Yes, because you want to force you don't want to force your family to ride in it, but you may have to.
Oh. And I say to that,
horse cocky.
Oh, wow, my God. You guys took garbage and there you ran with it. I'm amazed.
It's the force kin, separate words. Ben was slurring them earlier, and I think there have been sexual harassment charges filed. Anyway. Is it time for the chat room to vote?
It is.
Is the chat room voting even as we speak?
As we speak.
I am so excited.
Test Drive Junkie says poppycock.
All right. And in the poll.
I want to make sure that none of the people in the chat room dick around in their voting, okay?
I think that's important to consider.
Yeah.
You don't want to pussyfoot when it comes time to voting.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what I realized is actually it's a Welsh. It was an old Welsh car company. Pembroke.
Yeah.
Ben? Oh, well.
Donalbain was an interesting one.
Malcolm and Donalbain.
This is a first.
We have a tie?
No one's voting.
No.
They've been
everybody's left the chat room.
100% of voters are voting for that jerk Craig Cole ? Craig Cole, of course, being the brilliant Eric Tritko.
Yeah.
Tritko has carried the day. He is, every time Jim makes an attack with his sword, Eric is there to parry the blow.
You know what worries
step
me about
by
this?
Step.
My spare parts bin is obviously voting for Eric.
So much for loyalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Maybe I need to have some guys do some harvesting now. Bob, hold on to your cornea.
Keep it in the freezer until you may need it, right?
Well, I could do a preemptive change.
Eyes. Only make eyes.
You know, maybe Bob got a little worried about the foreskin.
Oh.
You know, maybe it got him a little uneasy, and he was thinking he's got to take you down.
Well, I never thought about that. Yeah, I hope he realizes that I will be ritualistically murdered if I lose this by Eric's own men, you know?
Bob, you don't screw with him. He is killer with a box cutter. Anyway, the bonus round, and this is really a picture-perfect finish. We are all tied up going into the fifth and final round. This is the tiebreaker, folks, so if you haven't been voting properly, now's your last chance to get it done right. And the final vehicle for today's show in the bonus round
is
called... I'm getting to it, Ben. I got a mouse up here to the little text color box. It says it's set up to black. Now to hide it. Okay, we set it to none. It is called the... It is the VCXLT by He Who Enlightens Motors. The VCXLT.
And as is customary for our bonus round, we'll take some thinking time.
The He Who Enlightens Motors VCXLT.
Are you thinking, gentlemen? Think hard. I can't smell any burning yet.
Pondering. All righty. I believe Erich is the first to go. So if you are ready, begin.
Am I ready? Well,
begin.
Silicon Valley, always known as the for over 50 years now, the home of innovation in electronics, is now going to become the home of the future of cars. That's why they were enlightened there. VC. Well, the company was actually, it's attributed to its it started as originally a venture capital firm. So a bunch of smart money guys got together and decided to build the latest crossover, an all-electric vehicle called the XLT. It's great for families. It's great for America.
Are you running for Republican candidate for president?
No, I would be the Libertarian candidate
for
president.
Oh, okay, okay.
Are you finished?
Yeah, because I got nothing else for this.
Is it better for American families in the foreskin?
Much better. It's not 5-star safety rated. It's 7-star safety rated.
It's almost 50% more star rated. All right.
It's all about the stars.
Mr. Hall, are you at half cock and ready to go?
That was the last car we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have to understand that the He Who Enlightens Motors is actually probably the most progressive of the Vietnamese car companies. It actually is. Of all of the Vietnamese car companies, it is the most progressive.
Song Yung Moon?
No, it's the name of the man who was their leader, Ho Chi Minh, He Who Enlightens. And the truth is, the VC is obviously, it's a tribute to the people that allowed them to be what they are today. But the car, because they knew there'd be problems, there'd be some resistance in doing a car from Vietnam in the U.S., so they built it in Mexico. And they're leveraging actually a Southern California company that came from Mexico, which is called XLNT, and they make tamales. Believe it or not, yeah, seriously, they're very good tamales, all right? And this is the only car where parts of the body are actually – the dash trim is made from corn. It's recyclable. They call it maize. And the car is considered very popular with people in certain parts of California because the corn can be eaten. It's very stylish. And the most important thing is the car is incredibly inexpensive. They pay you to buy the car. Now, this also comes in some markets with a driver that comes with a car. Now, how he gets in the car.
Oh, I am sorry,
I
Jim.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm just getting you the good part. But
well, can you get that in blue corn?
Of course.
Jim, is it, they pay you to have it. Is that because of the farm subsidies?
Exactly.
Okay.
You saw where that was going. And the problem is it doesn't run on ethanol.
Oh. But it tastes exactly the same as sugar.
And in moderate amounts, it's just the same. Right?
Talk about a weird campaign.
It tastes like sugar. Never mind that it comes out of the exhaust of your car. It's still delicious.
The little children running whatever. Up to the exhaust and going... to eat the delicious sugar crystals from the exhaust pipe. Oh, yeah. That would be
flavor sick. Crystallins. Anyway.
Motor crystals.
It is, like, of course, now time to vote.
Motor crystals, a lot like Velocilot fuel system cleaner, made out of gallstones from...
Fossilized.
Exactly. Yeah, well, put a pouch in your fuel tank every few thousand miles. It's like a claw hammer pounding away at the carbon in your engine. It just cleans it right up.
The Burmese gas snake was better than that. This was actually a snake that you would introduce into the gas tank of your car, and it would eat the power-robbing blue molecules from the gasoline.
Would it also align them like a magnet or something?
No, if they had put cow magnets in the gullet. Snakes have gullets, don't they?
They have craws, maybe.
Craws.
I don't know. Anyway, it's time to vote, Ben. Engage the voting booth.
I have.
Eric's won this one. I can tell.
We've got 20% voting for bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Or Eric Turco.
It was a cheap attempt at wrapping myself in the flag to win.
Well, that's the mark of a really honorable person, too, isn't it?
And we've got 83% voting for Jim as usual.
It's 103%.
Jim, who is Jim?
Jim, who is actually Jim.
Jim, who could be Bob.
It's true.
Yes, it could be. It
you
is possible.
Minus a force, Ken.
It's like... that reminded me.
No checking in here. That's what that room is for.
Paul Atreides, who is Usul to us.
Dune!
It's a sci-fi reference, Craig. That's awesome.
No,
the Harkonnens and the Atreides?
Yes,
see, I know what I'm talking about. Guess.
Because you had said something like something. Who is Jim? I'm like,
the Kwisatz Haderach.
Exactly.
I listened to the audiobook from audible.com/roundabout.
Me too.
Recently.
Have the polls closed, Ben.
The polls have closed.
Hmm? Anybody read it of any consequence?
Not famous names.
That's what he said. Yeah.
But they were pretty good. There were like, actually, there were like six
multiple
or seven.
Voices.
Yeah, multiple. Because,
makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah.
The polls have closed.
Who's
Craig?
The victor? Who's the Athena Nike, the victory?
It's going to be Jim for this bonus round.
I'm not worthy, but I thank all of you for voting the right way.
Choose the right attorney. Just call Roland Fry's Lair.
Not to go well, because that reminds me of it. I was a dinner party last Saturday, some Persian friends, because it was Persian New Year. And we were talking about stuff, and some friends who were up from Ohio, and they were like, this guy's like, what's it with this billboard? And it's like 1-800-CALL, and it's got some dude's face.
You have to explain who Sam is. And most of the people outside of Detroit have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 1-800-CALL-A-FACE.
As funny as that was, because everyone's like, a friend's wife, she's like, we're talking about the family and, you know, and like, oh, those are the googly-eyed people. And it was like, it was pretty much no one said a word for 5 minutes because we were all laughing so hard. I mean, and not to make light of, you know, a blind person and someone who was born with cross-eyed and never had that fixed.
But we will.
Just, it was funny. Just like all week now, I've been thinking of the googly-eyed people every time they're on TV.
Well,
oh,
and they're on TV here a lot.
Yeah, they are.
So, Jim, there was a hidden meaning in the bonus round. He who enlightens, and you hit on it.
Ho Chi Minh.
Is the name Ho Chi Minh, the Vietnamese leader.
And VC. Viet Cong.
Exactly.
Viet Cong, yes.
So there you go, a little.
Yeah. Winner! A winner is you?
Congratulations.
A winner is Jim.
A winner is Jim.
Jimuru Haru is winner.
I appreciate you make kindness me.
Yes, yes. And with that, on that happy note, I'm sorry, Eric, but you put up a good fight. You really did. You dominated the foreskin.
I looked at He Who Enlightens, and I didn't want to go down the L. Ron Hubbard trail.
Scientologists really believe this.
Yes.
And if you know South Park, you know what I just
yes,
said.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, we'll be audited with the special
control unit thing. Yes. But with that, guys, I think we have a show. We've wrapped it up, and if Ben is recorded, we won't have to do this again.
What? Oh, man.
Was I supposed to do that?
Did I do that?
You didn't press the red button?
Someone was supposed to remind me.
You didn't press the red button?
Uh-uh.
Someone's plural did.
I was afraid that would launch a missile somewhere in Siberia.
You don't have the right key.
Now, would it launch the missile in Siberia
Shall we play a game? With that, we have a show. We got to thank you guys. Eric Tritko.
Yes.
Rumblestrip.net, Rumblestrip on Twitter, IMAX Web. Where aren't you?
Columbia right now.
Okay, well, that's good because you'd probably be shot or something. There's a lot of drug violence down there. It's a good thing you're not in Colombia.
Okay.
I think Eric is tired. I think Eric's very tired tonight.
I was thinking of food, but, you know.
Colombia, though?
Excellent food.
You want Colombian food?
Sure.
Empanada is filled with bugs. Yum.
it's like pilaf. It's crunchy.
What are you working on, girl?
Working on getting three car reviews that have been quarterly partially written for about 3 weeks. Need to get those done before I get the next wave of cars in that I get even farther behind in my reviews.
Let me make it easy for you, Eric. What's your first car
that
you're trying to review?
Oh, the Toyota Tacoma.
Wow. What a great car.
Eric, what's
except
your next?
A truck.
Well,
same people call their truck their car.
Yes.
Exactly. Next car?
Hyundai Veloster.
Wow. What a great car.
These are a lot of good cars. And finally?
Toyota Tundra.
Wow. What a great
truck.
Car.
So, Eric, thanks for your time again.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Jim Hall, H-A-U-L. Yes or no?
You could spell it that way. It wouldn't be right, but you could do it. You can do a lot of things with your spelling. You know, you could spell the word red, R-E-A-D, or you could spell it R-E-D.
Eric,
so,
that's the best. Are we doing voices again?
No, I don't do voices.
We had this whole Truman Capote thing last week.
And he's still dead, isn't he? Capote? He's still dead.
Sometimes still he comes back for Roundabout Show.
Oh, really?
He drove an Oldsmobile 98. This is the thing. It had this motorized trunk. It used to motor down. You'd have to bring it to a gentle shit, and then it went wow, 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 down like that. So sometimes he likes to come on. He muses about his Oldsmobile. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. See, and one of my favorite cars was the Rosemobile, but that's a whole other story that we won't be able to get into
absolutely.
Now because
the show's over.
The show is
done. We're out of tape, actually.
Yeah,
got
I know.
A server in the back, not a server, but reel to reel.
Yeah.
You can hear it flapping.
And it's, you know, because I really had something important I wanted to say.
Goodbye.
We lost him. Jim Hall, 2953 Analytics.
That's me.
If people need analysis, where do they go?
They would go to 2953 Analytics. They'd have to contact me probably through Facebook. Jim Hall, is it jim.hall1? Or Jim Hall 1. I have to look here to see because I never contact myself on Facebook.
Jim Hall is a very common
name. Jim.hall1.
Okay. Is there a 2953 Analytics homepage portal?
Not that you can get into unless you're very clever.
How do you get onto it here?
It's for clients, not for...
Well, why is it so hard to
find? Unless you really need to know and have level 9 clearance, you ain't getting in.
Actually, it's called Grade Ultra.
Grade Ultra.
Well, Jim, we
94?
Thank you for James, we thank you for your support
thank
of the
you.
Program.
Glad to be
we
here.
We do hope you come back.
Had a great time. I enjoyed being here.
What a wonderful audience. And last but not least, we got to thank Colonel Slanders for helping us get all the technical stuff. Look.
My pleasure, as usual.
That's not the Colonel voice. Look at all those wires he had to string.
He has them.
And he did that without setting himself alight or frying himself with
11
many
herbs and spices.
And many thousand volts.
But laws, no, I won't ever be able to have chilling.
Because of the foreskin from Malcolm Donald Bain.
Yep.
Anyway, remember, you can watch Roundabout Live if you want to every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 3:30 on the West Coast, like Bob Hall's doing right now. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline.
1:30 in Honolulu.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline This Week, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily. My baby. We're pretty social here at Roundabout. Got some social media outlets. If you want to get in touch, join the conversation, you can do that. Twitter.com/Roundabout Show. We're also on Facebook. Facebook.com, predictably, /Roundabout Show. If you have trouble finding us, just give a search-a-roo. We should pop right up. Pretty easy. If you want to subscribe and never miss an action-packed episode, there are a variety of different ways you can do that. You can do it via iTunes, very popular way. You can do it via the Zune Marketplace, very unpopular way. There's also a neat little applet called Stitcher. You can stream it live right over the cyberspace. Very great little app. If you are using iTunes, though, we ask that you please rate us. Give a little star rating. Add a couple sentences there. If you like the show, great. If you love the show, even better. If you hate it, we'd like to hear from you, too.
Someone has a call.
Anyway.
And we couldn't be wrapping up any sooner.
And if you are an automotive person with SEO experience, please do contact me. I am hiring.
Yes. So Eric Tritko's 30-second job offer right there at the end of the show.
And can they contact you through rumblestrip.net?
Eric at imaxweb.com.
Okay. Eric@imaxweb.com if you're looking for a job.
Anyway, with that, thanks to all of you out there listening and watching the live stream. We ask you to please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout, and we will talk to you then.
Same free shipping.
I won't say that the last time I ordered from Amazon, it didn't quite work out that way.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't work out so well.
This is the ad, Eric.
I'm sorry.
Why are you saying this?
Maybe we could save this for after the show.
Okay.
Okay.
Cut his mic.
Cut it out.
Cut his mic.
Okay.
Cut his throat. It's a little drastic, Jim. Especially when live webcast.
I was just funny.
Funning around.
Funny, we're having some audio issues there. We're back now.
cut to the bars. Oh, and we're back. Eric's just gone. He's not here. Oh.
See? I can read.
It's got asterisks around it.
Oh, does that mean
that tells means extra to emphasis. You didn't say it with enough force, Jim. Try again.
Ben, don't forget to record.
No!